1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to have a theme of messages for the evening services for tonight and Thursday and Friday, and the theme is going to be love. I'm going to talk about that, and in the mornings I have a couple messages I'm wanting to give filled with our faith and confidence in Christ and dealing with fears in our life. But so pray for us in these messages, and I know you have been. I pray that you continue to do so. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. I want to read verse 13 and then chapter 14 and verse 1. So I want the last verse of chapter 13 and the first verse of chapter 14. And the subject tonight, I want to begin with this subject of love. On the subject I want to talk about tonight is truth and love. Truth and love. And that's our topic for this evening. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, he says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." Let's pray. Father, we ask for your help tonight, and Lord, it's our honor and privilege to be able to stand before your people and to be able to share the precious Word of the Lord. Father, I ask that you would help us in these messages, that we would be emptied of ourselves and filled with your Spirit and able to speak the truth in love. Father, we ask that you would bless each of these services this week. I know that the church puts a lot into it, and the ladies labor so hard in preparing meals. And Lord, sometimes it can be taxing, Lord, on the flesh. And though our flesh becomes weak, we know our spirits are willing. And so, Father, we come tonight with willing spirits asking for your help to show us the truth. And Lord, I pray that as we go through these messages this week, that it would be a blessing to our soul. And Lord, that we would leave this week people who are more determined to love like you loved. Father, I pray that you would bless myself as I preach, and bless Brother Doug, and may your Spirit be with us and help us, Lord, to speak to the dear people here. Be a blessing to them, and may we be encouraged to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we do pray, and amen. Now, this lesson, as I said, I want to first of all deal with the subject tonight of truth and love together. I want to think about those two things together this evening. Now, I chose to read this passage by way of introduction tonight because I believe, first of all, most of us here this evening, I planned on, you know, tonight, Wednesday night, most of us are going to be familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, at least a little bit about what it's about. I'm sure and hope that you are a little bit familiar with it, and how that it's what's commonly referred to as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. But we see here in verse 13 that charity is said to be greater than faith and hope. And then the very next verse, you know, chapter breaks are there for our convenience. They weren't inspired. And sometimes you lose something, I think, when you've just quitted a chapter in your daily reading. I think it's good in your daily reading to go back and read at least the last couple verses of the chapter before and then start on the chapter you're on that day. And you might be like, whoa, wow, that kind of changes things. And I think this is one of those times here where if you just quit with chapter 13 and don't think about what he says next, that sometimes you might lose something. But I find it very interesting that the very next verse in what he says, follow after charity. So he just said how important charity was. And then he says, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, what does it mean, or what is the point of prophecy? I mean, there's different views as far as prophecy and how it was done, but let's just limit it to this right now tonight. The purpose of prophesying was always to relay the Word of God. Now, I don't think we prophesy the same way they did in the past, but it was to relay the Word of God. And so it was to communicate to people what God said. It was to proclaim the Word of God. So it was to proclaim truth. Now, we often hear in our society today, and even among Christianity, we often hear love being exalted, and it really should be exalted. And we don't want to demean that by no means. But the greatest commandment is what? To love God. and to love others. And you know what? And that's the truth. That's the truth. And so we don't think about that. The truth is God said to love Him and to love others. Now, the truth is what teaches us about real agape, Christ-like kind of love. But how does this world define what love is? Well, it defines in many different ways, but how should we define what love is? We define what love is according to the truth of what God's Word says it is. Now, it seems sometimes in society today that it doesn't much matter so long as you, quote, love somebody. Now, that word is thrown away and around so loosely. People can cheat on their spouse, and well, it's not near as bad if you just couldn't help it because you fell out of love. You know, we see that promoted in entertainment and movies and such. If you just couldn't help it, and it seems to be okay. It seems like because you supposedly love, then it's an acceptable excuse. Homosexual relationships are sanctioned as okay because of love. Because, well, it doesn't matter what the truth says. You know, I won't even agree that homosexual couples can really love each other. Why? Because the Word of God says very clearly that charity rejoices not in iniquity, and it calls homosexual iniquity. So it's not Christ-like kind of love. There's a fleshly kind of love, but Christ-like kind of love is a pure love and does not rejoice in iniquity. Churches can get involved in things out of love, but it yet be something that goes against truth. Our society, and even much of Christianity today, has allowed love to trump truth. Now, I'm not set to exalt one above the other at all. That's not the purpose of the message. But what I'm saying is they're both important. Both are important. And any time that we exalt one above the other and we get lopsided, we begin a path of great spiritual immaturity. And we're going to see that in this message a little bit later. I do not believe that love and truth work apart from one another, neither do they work against one another. Truth helps us to love, and love helps us to share truth. Now, they are not in opposition. They're not on opposite sides. They are working together, and there's not a power struggle between the two. At least there never should be. If back in the corner, if we had to say which one was greater, I don't even really want to say. Because the Word of God puts a pretty high priority on both. And so I don't think that the Word of God ever tells us that we should exalt love above truth or truth above love. I think they're both highly exalted. Both are important. Now we do know the church at Ephesus had a lot of truth. And we've turned to that a lot of times and had a lot of truth. And their greatest thing they had wrong with them is that they had left their first love. And they're the only church there listed that was in danger of losing their candlestick, but they had the truth. So that's a pretty stark warning there. Something we got to take serious note of. But the Word of God, just because the Lord says that, does not mean we let down on truth either. The Lord never tells us that. Now, charity is seen and is revealed clear in its relationship to truth. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6, what he says there. He says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now, at the same time, if we have the Spirit of truth, then what we should want, if we have the Holy Spirit of truth within us, then what we should desire is to show the love of Christ to others. And I think it's important to consider these two together because a lot of times people are on one side or the other. But we can't look at them separately. They need to be seen together. If you have the Spirit of truth within you, then you should desire in love to share that truth with others. So we don't want to see them as separate in regards to having one without the other. Do we know the truth? Well, say, well, do we know the truth if we don't have love? That's tough, isn't it? Because he says in 1 Corinthians 13, I can understand all mysteries. I can have all knowledge and not have charity. And it don't profit anything. So I think that what we have here, we can't say you can't have one without the other, but we can be really lopsided, can't we? I think a lot of times when we're first saved, we kind of come. A lot of us probably started off on one path or the other. Maybe we started off and immersed in truth, just wanting to know biblical facts and what the Word says, and that's good. But then the growing in the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ, that's to me, that's a whole lot harder. I grew in the doctrines real quick. I mean, I'm talking about from my perspective. I grew in the doctrines real quick, and I felt like according grounded in truth, I got that pretty quick. But I feel like when it comes to, not that I know it all now, I'm not saying, well, he knows everything now. No, but you know, I understand what I'm saying. But when it comes to the love of God, it seems like, wow, I feel like I'm further away there. You know, I want to grow in all of it. I want to grow in all of it. Turn to 2 John 1. I want to talk about truth and love here. 2 John 1, and see them together here. I said 2 John 1. Of course, you know it's going to be chapter 1 because it's the only chapter there. But in 2 John, and let's start with verse 1 and think about this subject tonight of truth and love. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I what love in the truth. See, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love, true God love, loves the truth. Okay, now let's read on. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. You know, we should love people that love the truth. Then he says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children what? Walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Lord of the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we what? We love one another. I mean, all through there, he's exalting both of walking in truth and of loving one another. Truth and love need to be inseparable, never to be divorced, always united in our Christian walk. Instead, we live in a world that gets lopsided, but we need to seek to be balanced. Now, I hate using the word balance and talking about this. And I'll tell you why, because a lot of times when I think about balancing, I think about taking something down in order to bring something up, you know, like the scales, you know. But that's not really how we need to look at it. We have the scales, right? But we don't, you know, let down truth in order to lift up love. And we don't let down love or let up truth. No, you hold them both way up there. We don't have to forsake any part of truth or any part of the love of God and how we're supposed to love for the sake of truth. And so it's not a matter of bringing one down in order to pick one up, either one. We need to grow in both of these things in our Christian walk, in truth and in love. Now, many times today in Christianity, people choose churches based solely on things that may just be in regard to just truth. And some may choose churches just solely based upon the love that they feel when they go. I think that, you know, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that both should be present. And it shouldn't be one or the other. It should be both at work within the Lord's church. Now, well, I do believe that those who possess the truth and believe it, we should be loving. I also know that there can be an outward show of love as well. People go to churches looking for that. There can be an outward show of love that isn't really love. I mean, people get duped all the time, don't they? Think that the person is loving or loves them and find out they didn't. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8, look at the Word of God here. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. Says this, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He speaks about proving the sincerity of their love. Prove your love, the sincerity of your love. The word sincerity there speaks of your love being legitimate, genuine, true. Talking about let your love be true, let it be genuine. So there are definitely many who pretend to love in order to get what they want, don't they? But that's not love. It is selfishness, self-seeking, and self-gratifying. Where real love is not selfish, she seeks not her own. I mean, so people can go to certain places and churches and just look for love, and they get this overwhelming feeling that everybody's friendly and kind, but that may not be love. I mean, all of us know, hopefully we know, you know, the tactic of cults of love bombing, you know. You just make people feel so warm and welcome and all that, and but they don't have a truth. That shouldn't push us over in the corner and say we shouldn't be loving, though. You know, we should love bomb people too, but love them according to truth as well and lead them to truth. Turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans 12, 9. He says here to let love be without dissimulation. Now, dissimulation there speaks of the act of dissembling, a hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, a false pretension, hypocrisy. Dissimulation may be simply concealment of the opinion, sentiments, or purpose, but it includes also the assuming of a false or counterfeit appearance which conceals the real opinions or purpose. And so he said, don't do this. And sometimes, I mean, that's what a lot of times people do, you know, don't they? They get in relationships, I'm speaking from that aspect, they put forth this facade of love that isn't real, and they're really trying to conceal something, and people do that. Churches can do that to be deceitful, so people won't really know what they believe. People can appear to be loving unto others but have a secret agenda or purpose. Some pretend to be loving unto others in community or even in church, but it's only to conceal their abusive behavior to their families. I mean, how many people appear one way in front of other people to be loving? Why, he come across like such a loving father. You see, it was a cover-up. It was a concealment to hide the truth of what he really was and in regards to a person, as a husband, as a father. So love can be used to cover up who you really are. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about real, genuine Christ love. That springs forth, not a pretense, but comes forth naturally because we're born again of God who is what? Called love. It's because of God in us. It's not something that we have to fake or put on because we don't have it at all, but it's something that we have because of Christ in us. One writer said this. He said, love and truth must be maintained in perfect balance. I use the word balance, but you understand. Truth is never to be abandoned in the name of love, but love is not to be disposed in the name of truth. Truth without love has no decency. It's just brutality. On the other hand, love without truth has no character. It's just hypocrisy. Now, the other side of the coin is this. How many respond to... We have many that on one side say all that matters is love, and then sometimes there's people that say, well, all that matters is truth. Some respond with all that matters is truth, and they may hold their doctrines in a very unloving way. Now, this message is by no means to encourage us to let go of any truth. But many think that if they are loving to those who disagree with them, then that means they have compromised the truth. Where did we get that idea? If I'm loving to someone and compassionate and merciful to someone, then somehow I've let go of truth. You don't have to let go of truth. It doesn't mean that. In some cases, some have forsaken truth in order to appear to be loving, and that is wrong. And that should not be. Agape love does not forsake truth. However, if we have truly grown in Christian maturity and grown to be more Christ-like in our life, then truth and love should grow up together and be close sisters in our life. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I speak from experience of my own and my own personal walk. You know, I felt like the truth was a thing that I was grounding the most. And honestly, I remember the day it dawned on me. I mean, I believe that the core doctrines that we had, and I was in the middle of pastoring, been pastoring for quite a few years. And I mean, I've never wavered so far as I can remember after I was saved and embraced it, like the doctrines of grace. I've never wavered on that. I thank the Lord for that truth that He's shown me. But then it occurred to me one day that the doctrines of grace was not the same as grace. And I realized that I didn't have much grace with the doctrines of grace. Then I realized how bad that was. You know what I'm saying? I've lost the love and grace and mercy of God in presenting the truth. But that just comes with maturity. We've all done that. We've taken off in truth, and then we've like, oh, man, and then we feel like, man, I need to grow in a practical sense of love, and we do that. But they're both important. You start on a journey where you're just wanting knowledge. You start on a journey where you just want the facts. You start on a journey where you just want the doctrines. You're going to be a very immature believer who's going to beat people over the head with them and not really love them. So I don't love them because I told them the truth. Oh, really? You loved them because you told them the truth. No, you didn't. You loved your knowledge of the truth. There's a big difference. I've been there. I've done that. That's an ugly thing, too. It is ugly. Look in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. See this together. Because what is our goal in Christian growth? It is what? To be more like Christ. Christ who is what? Full of what? Grace and truth. Now, love, I think, is involved in grace. We're not have time to get into all of that, but Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." That's why, you know, God's given us, you know, teachers and pastors and evangelists and such. Here's the spiritual growth He's talking about. Verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Why? Okay, pastors, teachers, giving them to us. Why? To grow in the Christ. To be more like Christ. Notice what He says next. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with what? Every wind of doctrine." So He's got to have truth. So He won't be carried about with all kinds of different messages and words of doctrines. He needs to know the truth. He says, "By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love." This is how we mature as individuals, how we mature as a body of Christ. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies." This is good. "According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body," how? "Unto the edifying of itself in love." You see, they work together. The truth and love aren't working apart from one another. They're not enemies. They're sisters. They work together to bring us together, closer together as a body of believers here, and as to be more into the image of Jesus Christ in our individual lives and as a church body as a whole. And if we're going to be mature believers and a mature church, then we've got to embrace truth, all truth, and we've got to embrace the love of God. We need to be grounded in both, in the love of Christ. Truth and love here, as they are seen in relationship to our spiritual maturity, As I think about that, some believe, I think we've probably all been guilty of this, some believe that they're a more mature Christian because they're more loving. Some think they're the more mature Christian because they believe more truth. However, the mature Christian holds both high. And see, we need to get, this is important that we get a right perspective of where we are really at in our spiritual growth. It's really easy sometimes to sit on our teachings and talk about how we know all the truth and other people don't. And then we don't love others like Christ loved us. We're not very mature in the faith when we do that. And I've been there. I've done that. We must hold both high. We are not to ever forsake truth in order to appear loving. And because that wouldn't really be loving, would it? According to God. Because love rejoices in the truth. We are neither to appear loving, the truth, but yet show ourselves unloving to others. I mean, honestly, it's very ugly to appear you love the truth, but be unloving to others. That's an ugly imbalance. Neither should we be so immature to believe that if we love others who do not believe the truth, then that means that we are unfaithful to the truth. Listen, you can believe the truth and still be loving to people who do not believe it. And it doesn't mean that you don't believe it. I'm not afraid of that. Whereas before, I think I would have been. I don't want people to think I don't believe the truth. What, because you loved somebody who didn't believe the truth? Jesus loved a lot of people that never believed in who He was. And I mean loved in the sense that He was compassionate and caring and fed. And a lot of them never believed in who He was. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Obeying the truth and the power of the Spirit will produce an unfeigned love. So let us not ever exalt one above the other, but see that they belong together. When we obey the truth, we love without feign, without hypocrisy. It's not pretentious. We love for real and for genuine. As God is love and God loves truth. Our society wants us to love that which is not right. By love, they mean stamping our approval upon it. We can't do that. But we can still love people. Does that make sense? It's hard in today's culture, in today's society. Let me say it again. Our society wants us to love that which is not right. By love, they mean stamping our approval upon it. And if you don't approve of it, then you don't love. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. That is not the biblical definition of love. Love does not approve of sin. Love actually rather reproves sin. So let us have the right balance, never letting go of one in order to embrace the other. This brings us to our next thought tonight. We'll try not to be too long here. Truth and love are God's tool to purge evil. Truth and love are God's tool to purge evil. Truth and love work together in order to make a God impact on those around us to be salt and light. Now we already read where we must speak the truth in love. We read that back in Ephesians. Now, this we must do if we want to help others turn from sin. Look in Proverbs 16 and verse 6 here. Love isn't mentioned, but mercy is. And I believe mercy is a spring off of love. But in Proverbs 16, or at least it can be, Proverbs 16 and verse 6 says this, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy oftentimes is an act of love. We love, therefore we have mercy on people. Mercy is not permission. Mercy is not approval. Mercy says, even though you've done wrong, I'm going to forgive you, or I'm going to love you anyway. Notice, though, that mercy and truth purge iniquity. In other words, you can be merciful to someone, and God uses it to purge iniquity. But mercy, it works in accordance to truth. In other words, you don't deny what is right in order to have mercy. Many seek to purge iniquity without acting very merciful. That doesn't work either. Mercy does not mean you agree, but where mercy is being displayed, make sure that truth goes with it. If you do something as an act of mercy, maybe for someone you know is not right, let truth be in that act as well. I've known of people that have done some things I know I could probably never do, and reach out to people in ways I don't know if I would ever be comfortable with. But you know what? They didn't forsake the truth in doing it. But out of mercy they did things. Out of compassion they did things. And God used them to show people the truth. And they turned from their sin. Truth does not deny godliness for the sake of love. Paul speaks about the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. John said, "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." We see here the connection between keeping God's commands and having the truth in us. There's a connection there. Jesus said what? If you love Me, then keep My commandments. Truth and love work together in enabling us to obey God's commands. But they're both important. If we don't know what the truth is, how can we obey it? If we don't love Christ, there's no power to obey the truth. Now, another way to consider truth and love purging evil is in what Christ said in John 8 and verse 32. I love this word, but here Jesus said 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth sets us free from the bondage of lies. Now, there are many lies people believe today. They believe lies such as, they sin too much to be saved. They believe the lie that God does not exist. They believe the lie that repentance doesn't matter. They believe the lie that the name of your God doesn't matter. They believe the lie that works will take you to heaven. And we can go on with that. But if we know the truth of God's Word and of the gospel we carry, and if we love others, we should go to them with that truth. We can't sit back on the truth, you see. Love is a motivator. And just sit back and say, we got the truth. But you don't go forth with that truth in love, you're not going to do any good. They work together, not apart. We must love people enough. We should hate their chains of sin enough to tell them the truth in a loving way. Acting merciful and compassionate, but never wavering on truth. We can do both. We can be bold as a lion with truth and gentle as a dove in a spirit of meekness and grace and love. We can do both. You don't have to forsake one for the other. Knowing God's Word will give us a hatred for sin and that which is false. Because we love others, we should hate that which is leading them in a false way. Enough to share the truth with them and speaking that truth with love. And that is not hate when we do that. Now, sometimes I tell you, you want to... Facebook's one of the worst and the best things ever been created. But sometimes you see Christians and the way they say things sometimes on there, it's like they're saying the truth, what is right. Man, you would never like anything they say because of the way they say it. It just shouldn't be like that. It just shouldn't be like that. I started this gospel minute thing. And you know what? You know why I started that? Because I'd seen so many posts of preachers preaching, and they're just flat out mad and angry, and they just come across the wrong way. And I thought, something's got to change here. This image is terrible. I could believe with most everything they were saying, but the way they were saying it, I'd get mad. And I believed what they said. I mean, that's something ain't right there. And we've all seen that. Speaking the truth with love is not hate, and speaking the truth with love is not loving the truth. You don't have to be mad and upset to proclaim the truth. Now, our society today calls everything... Our society today, in regards to hate speech, if you disagree with someone, then you hate them. But that's not so. But you can tell them the truth and hate them too. I tell you what, there's been a few times I went to people with the truth, and I was just really almost kind of hoping they wouldn't believe it just so God would judge them and get them. Now, you've never done that. But there have been a few people I thought I was just hoping that they just wouldn't get it. Because I wanted to see them get something. I told them the truth. I didn't really love them though. I don't want that. Not anymore. Now, in closing tonight, I'm thankful that God loved me enough to come and die on the cross for me. However, God hated my sin. He hated it. He hated my sin. He hated it enough to send His only Son to die for that sin. You see, love does not deny what is true. But love dealt with the truth. Love dealt with the truth that I was a sinner before God. Love finds a way to work within truth and righteousness. See, that's what God did at the cross. At the cross of Calvary, we see the truth of who God is. We see the truth of His holiness, His righteousness, His judgment, and His wrath. But nowhere else can we see in the Word of God a clear display of not just the wrath and hate of God for sin. We see just at the same time no greater display of the love of God. They can meet. And they don't have to compromise. And we can, church, preach the truth in love. And may God help us to do that. Love will not deny what is true, but love will find a way to work within truth and right. God loved His people, but He dealt with what was right. May God help us to have that right. Truth and love. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word and pray that You continue to be with us. And Lord, I feel so inadequate even to present this Word tonight. And Lord, in talking about these things, I'm reminded of my own shortcomings and my own lack of Christian spiritual growth at times. And Lord, I'm shamefully reminded of how unloving I've been with the truth and how many times, Lord, I've held so tight to the truth and haven't loved people enough to share it with them. And Lord, I pray that You would revive us, Lord, this week. A revival of truth and a revival of the love of God. God help us, we need both. And may we see Calvary clear tonight. May we see Your righteousness, Your holiness, what is right. And may we see the love of God, the mercy and grace and compassion. And help us to go in the spirit of the cross, hating sin, but loving sinners and wanting to point them to the bread of life. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Here, Brother Wayne, you come ahead.